Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to another episode of the Steelers Preview. I am Jeff Hartman, co-editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. With me, as always, the triumphant trio, Brian Anthony Davis. What's going on, Brian?
I am feeling groovy, ready to roll, my friend. Steelers on their way to 6-0, possibly.
We shall see. A lot to talk about there. Mr. David Vonghammer Schofield, what's going on? How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm here. I'm with you guys. We got a big game coming up. Let's get to it.
Let's talk about some news. Guys, talking about this week of news and the Steelers, is there anything that, popped out, so to speak? Something that stood out? Brian, anything with you leading up to the game?
Well, you know, just the injuries and the situations, not knowing who is going to be playing. And non-Steeler news that really stuck out to me was the fact that the Ravens are loading up.
Well, let me ask you this, since you brought up the Ravens, and that's fine. That's kind of the hot button news here on Thursday. When was the last time there was an NFL team that did what they're doing? I'm talking like selling out, trying to get as many players as they can, bringing in big name guys, and actually won it all. I'm not saying it's never happened, but when was the last time you can think?
You know what? I can't think right now. It's just you brought that up earlier, and I agree, and I don't think this is anything for anybody to go crazy about, but it's a typical Eric DaCosta move.
Yeah, well, screw those guys. Dave, that's next week. We'll get to them next week. Dave, what's going on? What any news stand out to you?
Well, first of all, just to address that issue, why worry about things not in your control? You know, take care of business in your own house. Let what other people are doing in their house be what it is. We'll deal with that when it comes across, because the standard is the standard, and I just don't want to paint with a broad brush. So the only other news that I'm going to say is there are some Steeler fans on social media quite upset. I actually did the article. It's the first article on the website right now about, you know, calm down, even though they changed which game is going to be on Sunday Night Football this week. It is not the Steelers still. It was not ever going to be the Steelers, because CBS was going to grab a hold of this game and clutch it with a killer depth grip and never let go. There was no chance they were giving up this game. Even though it's not Romo and Nance, they're still not giving up this game.
Who is it? Who's on the call?
Ian Eagle, and is it Charles Davis that's with him?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I have it right here in front of me. Yeah, Charles Davis.
Yikes.
And then Evan Washburn.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
If Dan Fouts were still announcing, it could be worse. It could be worse.
Last game of the season, can't hold anything back.
All right. For me, my news is going to lead us into what the first topic I really wanted to talk about tonight in this preview. As we look ahead to week 7, 5-0, 5-0, it's going to be big. The injury report that's come out so far. Dave, let's get to it now. We'll get it out of the way early. Go ahead and read it. This is Thursday. It's being recorded Thursday night. So if you're listening on Friday afternoon, there's a good chance they've already had the diagnosis, but this is being recorded Thursday night. Dave, run it down for both teams.
Yeah, because that was the other news I was going to talk about, is that the Steelers have not made a move yet.
Shockingly.
So their lack of news is news.
But when did they didn't move Zach Banner to IR right away either.
It was Friday or Saturday. I think it was Friday, even after the injury report. I can't recall. But they didn't, because mainly it's COVID. It's COVID and exactly what they're going to do for the week and whatnot. I personally believe that if Stefan Wisniewski's coming back for this week, there's no reason to bring in another player that you're probably not going to play. Why have to cut a guy off the 53 to then try to get on the practice squad and then cut a practice squad guy? Why, you know, if you're not going out and getting another inside linebacker, you do not have one to promote from the practice squad because you've had one inactive every week. You might as well just, if Wisniewski's coming back, put him in that spot. That's my opinion. But here, just to read it down, Devin Bush did not practice. He has been ruled out because he had surgery yesterday.
Yeah.
This is interesting, which is something we're going to talk about later. I'm going to leave that for last. The good news is Juju was back, as what's normally been happening. Yeah. He's out with a knee on Wednesday, and then he's back on Thursday. Well, the one week he didn't come back on Thursday.
But yeah, he waited until Friday.
He was back. Deontay Johnson, full participant again, 2 days in a row. That's a good sign. David DeCastro moved from limited to full. That's a good sign. And then, of course, Stephon Tuitt was a coach's decision. He was back. Marquise Pouncey was listed as a foot. He wasn't even mentioned by Coach Tomlin. I was trying to tell Jeff, calm down. It's going to be okay.
I wasn't mad at that. I was mad that no one asked about it.
Yes.
No one asked about the foot.
I understand. No one asked about the foot. I had a feeling that it was just he got his normal coach's day off, but because he had a foot, they listed it. Unfortunately, no Derek Watts, no Mike Hilton. This injury report, actually, I predicted what it was going to be before it came out. I predicted neither of those guys would practice again. But there was one thing that I didn't realize was going to happen, and that was, and I think this might have other effects of things that we'll talk about later, that one Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger was still on the injury report. He did not have an FP next to him. He had an LP. He was limited in practice.
But did you see what was next to the NIR?
Yes, not injury related
slash
personal. The reports were out there. Ben was late to practice for personal reasons that he had permission. They said, we'll work the other quarterbacks. And then even in Coach Fietner's interview, whatever it was today, he even said, Ben wasn't there to start, but he came in and he finished really strong. So it has nothing to do with his playing on Sunday. Yeah. It was just something that was going on. Don't know what. He's good. He's fine. But I don't know if Vegas might have overreacted to that a little bit. We might talk about that later.
I don't know. Well, we will talk. Let's talk about the Steelers injuries first, because this is the big talking point. First, let's talk about the offense. Okay, so you look at the offense, Derek Watts banged up. He's probably not going to play, because anyone that's ever pulled a hamstring knows it's a very delicate injury. Right when you think it feels good, you go and test it and you yank it again. They're going to have to let him rest this. I don't think there's any chance he's going to play. Yeah, yank it again. But Deontay Johnson being back and David DeCastro being a full participant, looks like they are both ready to go. They're ready to play. My question for Brian first. With Deontay Johnson coming back, how does that impact the Steelers' offense, at least from a personnel standpoint, in your opinion?
It just makes them more dangerous. That's one guy that, look, we always said that if you take away one of those guys, the other guys are going to step up. But when they're all in there, that team is so much harder to cover. Deontay Johnson, a lot of people have been on him lately because he's fragile. He's not fragile. He's just getting injured right now. But the thing about him, when he's in there, he is so valuable. Ben can go to him. Ben was trying to go to him in games earlier this season. The game that he got hurt, I believe, if that was the Texans game, he was going to him early and often. So, you know, here's another guy that makes it so much harder to cover: a Claypool, a Juju, a James Washington, the tight ends, just makes it tougher. So he is so crucial to this team.
But at the same time, someone is going to have to lose snaps because they don't run a lot of four wide receiver sets. They just don't. And if they do, a lot of times they include tight ends and not just put four pure wide receivers out there. So in your opinion, Brian, who loses snaps with Deontay Johnson back?
It just it really just depends on the situation and what packages they want to run at the time. You know, this is, you know, possibly a play it by ear situation, but they're definitely going to want to use Chase Claypool in a lot of spots. So it could be by the series. You know,
yeah.
You just have this is the situation built for James Washington. This is the one that we have Juju earmarked for. So, you know, there you go.
Dave, what are your thoughts on that situation with Deontay Johnson expected to be back this Sunday?
All right, you know who's going to lose? I was trying to look up something really, really quick to just to give a better answer for this, but who I believe is going to lose some snaps would be one, Ray McCloud.
How many snaps are we getting?
He wasn't. But what I'm saying is he's going to have a few. I think everybody's going to lose a little bit, and they're going to figure out who's doing well, who's got the better matchup, who they can play where. I got an email today where I was corresponding with Captain Underpants and was wondering about who should play in the slot. I'm like, I don't want to know who's playing in the slot because I want the other team to not know who's playing in the slot. I love that the more options that you have of guys that you could put in different places, then you can work the matchups that you really want. So in case you're wondering, Ray McCloud had 13 offensive snaps against the Browns. I could see that go down to zero or one. You know what I'm saying? No offense to Ray. It's just something's got to give. So it's probably going to be
Ray.
It's probably going to be Ray. No, but and that's why I don't think you're going to see a major reduction in Chase Claypool. I think if anyone has to absorb it more, it might be James Washington, but it really depends on what matchups they ended up. They think they can scheme and they think they can get. And then what's really, it's not just what you plan on, but also how it's working that day.
You know, speaking of snap totals, I don't know if people know this. Jeffrey Benedict writes this article for us every week. Chase Claypool played the most snaps for a wide receiver for the Steelers, I believe, the last 2 weeks. That's even more than Juju Smith-Schuster. They had him out there early and often. They clearly are dedicated to getting this guy on the field to try to at least be a distraction, if anything. And if they're not going to put a focus or an onus on him, then he's just going to win that matchup as seemingly every single time he steps on the field. It's a good problem to have. Talking about Deontay Johnson being back, the more versatile, the more dynamic, he brings an element that the other receivers don't. Even Ray McCloud, his route running, his ability to create space, he is a unique beast amongst the other guys on the wide receiving core. And with him out there, boy, is it more challenging, and it looks like he's going to be back. Now let's talk about the injuries on the defensive side. Completely different. We're talking about Devin Bush. We know he's gone. A lot of talk has been made of Robert Spillane, and rightfully so. Should preface this with Mike Tomlin did say in his Tuesday press conference that they do not expect Spillane to be on the field all three downs. They're just not going to do it. Now, as Tomlin did state, the Titans don't run a lot of sub-package offensive football. They are a line them up, run it down your throat, two wide receivers, you know, the traditional personnel groupings. If that's the case, then maybe Spillane will play more. But ultimately, guys, how do you see this inside linebacker shaking out in terms of, do we see more Marcus Allen going down to the box, or do we see Ulysses Gilbert III playing defense for the first time this year? Brian, what are your thoughts?
I think you're going to see more UG3, and you're also going to see some Marcus Allen in there. They're going to mix it up because they are not going to just have one guy fill in all the blanks. If they're not going to do it with Spillane, they're not going to do it with those other guys.
The one thing that scares me is if they're going to go into this game thinking, well, I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what sticks. Like, I feel like you have to have a plan in place. I hope they have a good plan in place. Dave, what are your thoughts on that inside linebacker? We'll call it just cutting up the snaps?
I'm going to tell you, I can't even guess, because I think no matter what we guess, we're going to be wrong. I think the Steelers are going to do something out of the ordinary. I mean, think about it. Was it the, now I can't even remember which game it was. I'm pretty sure it was the Eagles game and not last week, that it might've been last week, where Terrell Edmonds wasn't even on the field for the first defensive snap. It was Mike Hilton. They didn't play some of him. So they can work different people doing different things, and they might cover it in a way that we don't expect, because what they really might want is something that the Titans don't expect.
That's true. With that said, before we go on to Hilton's injury, does Spillane have the green dot, you think, this week, or do they give it to someone else? Dave, will go with you first.
I think he's got it. I think so.
Okay. Brian, you think he gets a green dot?
Yeah, I really think he does as well. And if he doesn't, this man might.
Sean Spence?
Bring Sean Spence back off the couch.
I was like, did he mean to say Sean Davis?
I meant to say Sean Spence.
Well, Isaac Aguilera puts $5 in the tip jar and says, I'm afraid the Steelers will be so focused on stopping Derrick Henry that Ryan Tannehill is going to kill us over the top. Isaac, you're not alone with that sentiment. Thank you for the tip, by the way. This is tying in with the next injury, and that's Mike Hilton. If you're asking me, he has not practiced Wednesday or Thursday. I don't think he's going to play on Sunday. Unless he comes back and practices Friday, a full, he might be questionable. But when you're talking about an injury to the shoulder and the way that Mike Hilton plays defense, I don't see this being an injury that you can just shake off. So my question for you all is, in the secondary, if Mike Hilton isn't in and he's not playing, how are you absorbing it? Now, I do want to preface this with that the few snaps they had to deal with this with the dime defense against Cleveland, which wasn't often after Hilton left the game, because as Dave said in his Stat Geek, they basically were running out the clock on themselves. The Browns were, because they were white flag surrender. They actually had Steven Nelson bump inside. Justin Lane played outside, and Cam Sutton stayed in his typical dime backer role. I'm not sure if that's what their plan is, but that's what they did. Now, with a whole week to prepare, it might be different. But guys, if you're the one that's setting them up, Brian, what are you doing?
I'm going to Cam Sutton to give him the snaps, and I'm also looking at Sean Davis as well.
Mm-hmm, I like that. Dave, what about you?
I don't know that we're going to see much dime this game.
Okay, you know? But so do you just put Cam Sutton in the nickel and let him do everything that Hilton does? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be your better option, is to not use as much dime because of, like Isaac was saying, he's worried about them selling out against the run. But at the same time, you're also dealing with some injuries from the Titans that we can talk about here eventually too, that we'll see how that plays out. Brian might be right where they could use Sean Davis or something like that. Or do what they did there, since I don't know that it'll be many more snaps than what they did on Sunday. So I see this as more of a nickel game, you know, of a base and nickel, more than a, you know, nickel diamond occasional base. That's just me.
I think that, you know, if there's a game where you're thinking, okay, even if we want to substitute Hilton in the nickel and you want to put Davis in there, this is probably the game to do it, because he's a bigger body. I mean, not that Cam Sutton can't tackle, he can, but bigger body, safety, used to that contact. The thing about me is that I think about, well, most people forget that Sean Davis's rookie year, they had him in the slot. They actually used him as a slot cornerback instead of playing him at safety. And then I remember Tomlin, it's probably about after week three or week four, he said, okay, we need him to focus just on safety. And they pulled him off of those duties. So he's capable. He played it in college at Maryland. I think this is the game, in my opinion, where if you're going to start utilizing the guy that you picked up from the Washington football team, this is the time to do it. Because if Hilton can't play, and I'm not saying he's not, but if he isn't, those are big shoes to fill, because Hilton is extremely versatile from blitzing, the way he plays the line of scrimmage, and his coverage, everyone says, is his Achilles heel. It's been better, in my opinion. It's been better. So let's talk, Dave, real quick about the Titans injuries. There's a couple worth noting that you just alluded to. Go ahead and read off the Titans injury.
Yeah. Now, this is just today's. It doesn't have anything from yesterday's. But Jadeveon Clowney was back to full participant. Tight end Pruitt was, due to illness, he was back to full. Tackle Isaiah Wilson was out for an illness. They just say illness. They're not saying anything. Everyone else that had been out was full, like tight end Jonnu Smith was full, some other players. But the big one that did not practice on Thursday was wide receiver A.J. Brown with a knee.
And he was not listed on Wednesday. So no. He hurt himself either in practice Wednesday or somewhere in between Wednesday and Thursday's practice. That's a big, big injury. Brian, what are your thoughts on that?
A.J. Brown is phenomenal, if you ask me. This is a guy that when he plays, I picked him up in a 14-man league last year, and he won me the championship. That it's a hard win. It's a hard league to win, and he was just money every time he played. When he doesn't, you feel the difference. This team is so much better when this guy is in there. The title of this is there's, you know, you got to stop more than Derrick Henry. If A.J. Brown's not in there, the task gets a little easier because he is so dominant. I'm talking this guy has the potential not just to be a pro bowler, but an all pro. I love him.
Yeah, Dave, go ahead and give your thoughts on A.J. Brown missing practice, assuming, let's say, he does miss the game.
As a Steelers fan, I am not – I'm going to pay attention to it. I'm going to be looking for it tomorrow, but I'm not putting anything in my mind until I see what happens on Friday. That's just – that's kind of how I go. I don't think – like with our own Steelers guys didn't practice for 2 days. I don't think they're playing like Watt and Hilton. This was just one day on Thursday. It could have been kind of like what happened with T.J. Watt the one time where they kind of with his knee. And they're like, oh, let's give him a break in between there as we, you know, let him rest it a little bit. So I think tomorrow – I mean, if he's questionable, that's huge. I wouldn't be shocked if he's back to a full participant with no injury designation.
Can someone name, not in the live chat because they probably do, but anyone on the show, can you all name another receiver for the Titans that's not named A.J. Brown?
Corey Davis.
Okay, whoever that is.
I was going to say Adam Humphries.
Whoever that is.
but then the tight end is the Jonnu Smith, right? He's doing pretty good when he actually plays. I don't know. Yeah, okay.
That's the thing.
Jonnu Smith is the real deal.
Today. Yeah, I thought so.
These are not household names. I'm not saying they're not good, and I'm not saying they're not capable, but these are not household names. I think that for me, someone said Derek Mason.
I like it. Yancey Thinkpen.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me jump in real quick.
Nate Washington. Sorry.
After this week, you are going to be looking for Jonnu Smith every week in your FanDuel. Trust me.
Okay.
Guy's that good.
Hey, what was he, sick, Dave? Is that what it was?
No, his ankle injury. I don't think he played last week. Did he? Or there was a question if he was going to play or not. I can't remember.
Okay, whatever. So that's some injuries to watch there. But honestly, I think that the Titans are a pretty healthy team, all things considered. They did lose their left tackle. Luan, is that how you say it? Luan.
I understand it's Luan.
Sure. But guys, let's talk about this upcoming game. What about the Titans that's not named Derrick Henry, since that's the title of this podcast? What about the Titans that's not named Derrick Henry scares you about this upcoming matchup? But Dave, we'll start with you.
Honestly, it's Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
I mean, what that's the one thing, and this is what Tennessee's been – that's why they're putting up 30 – they put up 30 points – more than 30 points in weeks 2 and 3, and more than 40 points, I think, in 5 and 6, maybe. Yeah. And that's just going off memory. I don't have it in front of me. I know it's over 30 for the last 4 games. And a lot of that isn't just because of Derrick Henry. It's what Derrick Henry opens up, sets up. You know, you pay attention to Derrick Henry, and then all of a sudden, boom, Ryan Tannehill gets you. Now, this is what you were supposed to – this is what was supposed to be the case – with that mistake by the lake with the Brownies team, you know, that's what they were supposed to be, that, oh, you're going to pay so much attention to that running game. And then all of a sudden, ooh, Baker Mayfield's going to get you. No, he's not. As you know, Baker Mayfield sucks. So, but yes, that's does. Not the same with Tannehill. He is a player that was not having a good NFL career and then finally got in the right situation to show what he can do. And he can, but it's kind of like what has been going on with Ben Roethlisberger this season. He hasn't had to throw the team on his back all the time, but when he has, he's been able to step up to it. So that's something. And I mean, we can't just go off the Browns game. We know that before that, when you look back to the Eagles game, that what the Steelers were doing and trying to, you know, take out Zach Ertz, that they were giving up yardage and stuff in the passing game. So you always got to remind yourself, oh, if they're so focused on Henry, are they going to open up that passing game? So I'm not saying that it means it's going to win, that the Titans are going to win or that Steelers will lose because of that. But other than Derrick Henry, that's what you have to worry about.
Brian, do you echo that sentiment or is there something else?
There is something else. It's the 1997 third round pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers, when Michael George Vrabel. That guy is a wizard, and he comes up with the craziest stuff to Jedi mind trick officials as far as these weird loopholes
on the field.
Up with. I mean, this guy is actually really, for me, he's a top five coach right now, and I think he's that good. So I think that he is one step ahead of everybody else when he's coaching a game. So I'm not saying that he's going to be one step ahead of Mike Tomlin. All I'm saying is that he thinks like Belichick. He played under Belichick. He played under Bill Cowher as well. He played under two legendary coaches, one in the Hall of Fame, one that is a sure Hall of Famer. That's, if anything's a lock, Belichick is. So this guy has been around it his entire life. And as a coach, I'm really looking at Mike Vrabel as being one of the best that we're going to see in a long time, as far as top five right now. So he could really, he's in the laboratory right now.
Well, yeah, he's from the Belichick tree. He knows all the tricks of the trade. For me, you know, Dave said it well, but I look at the Titans offensive line, and not only are they opening up holes for Derrick Henry, but they're keeping Ryan Tannehill clean. You know, you can check out my Let's Ride podcast Friday morning. And I dive into a lot of numbers because Dave was generous enough to share his numbers. I had to kind of come to his chicken scratch a lot of times.
But I still told you it was going to be a problem.
The Tennessee Titans have only given up 6 sacks all season, and that's pretty remarkable. I mean, Tannehill has been pretty, he's been clean. He's been clean. And you can say it's because of the running game. It doesn't matter. He hasn't been sacked. I don't care what the root cause of it is. The offensive line has been keeping a pass rush off him. Now, have they played a team that has such a pass rush like Pittsburgh, who has 24 sacks on the season? No, I don't think that they have. But at the same time, we know that the Pittsburgh defense is predicated on getting pressure on the quarterback. They're going to blitz you. They're going to sell out to get to the quarterback. And they're not going to get to you. They're going to hit you, and they're going to want to rattle you. I'm not sure if Ryan Tannehill falls into that category of quarterbacks that can be rattled. Baker Mayfield falls into that category of quarterbacks that can be rattled. Ryan Tannehill's a tough guy. I remember them playing him in Miami. He takes shots. He's a tough cookie. They are going to have to get to Ryan Tannehill, in my opinion, and they're going to have to at least pressure him into getting rid of the football. And he gets rid of the football quick, not as fast as Ben Roethlisberger, but they don't want him dropping back and, you know, 7-8-step drops. The Steelers and that offensive line of the Titans is going to be something to watch. I'm not going to say it scares me, but it certainly is a red flag because Pittsburgh is so reliant on getting to the quarterback that the fact they've only surrendered 6 sacks a season, and the Steelers have only given up 8, by the way. They've only given up 8. So kudos to the Steelers offensive line as well. So real quick, anyone want to say anything else? Brian, you good?
I want to, you know, echo what you said about Ryan Tannehill. He was the right guy with the wrong franchise in Miami. And when he gets with a pretty good franchise with guys around him, he's so much better of a player. But we mentioned it earlier when we were talking about the injuries. Taylor Lewan, left tackle, he's out. That's a big problem.
Yeah.
So those 7 sacks have a potential to really go up.
They could. It could. Let's look at some other numbers here before we take a break. And then when we come off the break, we're going to talk about our X factors, over under predictions, bold predictions, and then some trivia to finish out the end of this. We always do in part 2. I mean, look at some of these numbers for the Tennessee Titans and the Pittsburgh Steelers. These are some of the numbers that I looked up. So in terms of the mirror images of each other, in terms of turnovers, giving the ball away, Pittsburgh's given it up 4 times, Tennessee 3, taking it away. They've both taken it away 9 times. So
nine times.
That's right. In terms of sacks that they've gotten, we know Pittsburgh has 24 sacks on the season. Tennessee has 7. So the Tennessee Titans are protecting Tannehill, but they can't sack the opposition to save their life. I'm sorry, Dave. What are you saying?
No, I was going to say no. With the answers that we gave of what scares us, notice none of us said anything on the defensive side of the ball.
And I'm going to talk about that in the second half. But real quick, Ryan Jeffords puts 499 in the tip charge. Says we stop the run, we get up on the scoreboard, then Tannehill will have to drop back, and we'll get our sacks and fluster him. That is the recipe for success. It's easier said than done. Put it that way. Stopping Derrick Henry. It's easy for me to say as a 5'9", 170-pound male. But for someone that has to go tackle that monster, that's a different species altogether. But let's look at some other numbers real quick. Points four. So points scored. The Titans have scored the average 32.8 after five games. Pittsburgh's 31.2. Points against. Tennessee's giving up 25.2 points a game. Pittsburgh 18.8. Brian, what do you think about some of those numbers?
The offensive scores, they're so close that really it's a wash, a push at this point, but that's a big disparity. That's a touchdown difference on defense. And that is huge. And how many times have you seen the Tennessee Titans win a game besides the Buffalo game by less than a touchdown? I mean, it's basically 3 points, 7 points here. Last week it was 7 points. They won by 3 points over the Vikings. So they play tight games. So that difference of what you give up, that is a huge deal.
Dave, thoughts on these stats? You went over them beautifully in your Stat Geek. If you haven't checked that out, that podcast, check it out. What are your thoughts on these numbers?
It's funny because it's everything's so much about, oh wow, it's that Tennessee offense going up against that Pittsburgh defense. It's such a, you know, clash of the Titans, literally, I guess we could say, is, you know, strength on strength. But really, what this game might really come down to is, will the Titans be able to stop the Steelers offense? Yeah. And that's what people aren't talking about. And I think that's going to be a probably more important than even the other one.
And that's what we're going to be talking about in part two of the Steelers Preview Podcast. If you're listening in audio platform, right when this one ends, jump over to part two right below it or wherever you're listening in audio platform. If you're on YouTube, don't go anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.